This is the continuation of a multi-part series entitled Two Heads Are Better Than One. Assisted by James Like and Carolyn Schock, piano educator Dr. Robert Pace further explores how repertoire can be analyzed through peer evaluation in a dyad structure.
All right, good. Let's try Jim on something that's basically the same period but a different sound. And this is Scarlatti. And this is, tell me a little bit about how this might be contrasted with what we just played.
Well, first of all, you have a real chordal structure here, for instance. Counterpoint both hands, there are spots where you have, you know.
If the first one was, if the Bach was a polyphonic, this is what?
Homophonic.
So we're getting more chordal structures, aren't we? Where do you find any of those more abundantly in any other part of the piece there? Where does he get into more chords?
In the beginning of the second section, the B section, you really, really get interesting.
What's the significance of that, of the more action going on in that second section? Early, as a matter of fact, what do you think is the significance of that?
I think, again, building tension little by little by little until you get to the climax.
Yeah, the climax. Now, so on the harpsichord, you didn't really play it louder or softer like that to get the climax, but you did it by adding color in the music. So by adding texture to the texture, he makes it more dramatic, doesn't it? So that frequently in the Baroque period, this will happen, not at the very end, but it happens where? Before. In the second section, but before.
Right.
Okay. So when you play some of this for us, Jim, and Carolyn, I want you to tell me what you think of this touch on it. Do you have any sequences here?
Sure.
So that even though it's homophonic, you still have many of the same things, don't you, that you had in the polyphonic. So, as you work on this, figure out what are your problem with the sequence? What are you going to do with it?
To have some variation, not to make it all, sound the same, but to vary the sound and vary the touch. And, there are a lot of questions I have about this piece and the learning. For instance, I'll ask Carolyn, my partner here, how about that trill where the...
He got trill problems.
Yeah. how about the where do you think I should end that exactly?
I personally think it ends right on the beat.
Do
you like that? I do. And I think it's really fun how he can go in from two lines. He might have just one line in the right hand, one line in the left hand, and then all of a sudden he adds another part, then he might add a full chord, so he might have five notes at a time, four notes at a time, three, two, one. You know, it just has a lot of variety in how many notes are coming together.
Okay.
Have you got a suggestion for me about that scale right here, and work up to that? I mean, how to play it, how to work at it at home? I'm going to play it for you. It's not going to be great.
Uh, on a scale like that, I'd be like,
sorry.
I like to do add a note for either one.
So now we're going to deal with processes of working at whole ones to get the effect. Don't just play it over and over and hope it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Do something that's going to change it. It's going to solve the problem. Okay.
Sounds great.
Now you got two pieces there from the Baroque. Notice that they're both short. We can learn them, get them out of there, get them. We want them to be learned and ready to go into something else right away. Let's take a look at the next. Let's move.